Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That is the phrase that pays.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've never asked this rhetorical question on a Wednesday. So, are you ready for some football? That's Joe Hayden into the end zone.
Trace McSorley to Hollywood Brown.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, San Francisco 49ers CEO, Jed York. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Howie Long. Co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Pro Football Hall of Famer Howie Long will be joining us in hour number three as we do take you to Brother from Another here on NBC Sports on Peacock with the two Michaels, Michael Holly and Michael Smith. Michael Smith will join us. The two Michaels will be chopping up that big Westbrook for John Wall trade that shook up the NBA yesterday. And we discussed that in hour number one. Also, we have two new Mike Tomlin drops, right, Jason Feller? Do you have both of them right there based on his post-game press conference? Let's get the first one right there. You got one over there, Jason Feller?
Sucking.
Okay, sucking. That was the answer that he gave when asked what do you attribute all the mistakes? And then you've got the other one that he dropped right there.
We don't have to reinvent the wheel.
We don't. We've got four great guests. You can call us at 844-204-RICH. Those are the numbers to dial.
It's nice to label these myself.
There you go. Yeah, Mike Del Tufo's system is very difficult to decipher, but you're handling it, his workspace very well.
Appreciate it.
Mike Tomlin, however, speaking today, did confirm that Bud Dupree has torn his knee, his ACL. He is out for the year. So that is big news for the lone still. Here we are, 12 weeks into the season, lone undefeated team remaining in the National Football League. And joining us right now is the CEO of one of the rare instances of a team being 5-6, still in the mix for a playoff spot, and potentially being more resilient than the team that went to the Super Bowl last year. What a season for the San Francisco 49ers and a good friend of the program, the CEO of the team, Jed York, joining me here on the show. How are you, Jed?
I'm good, Rich. Thanks for having me, man.
You bet. So your team is currently, they flew to Arizona last night, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they are there right now, and they're there for 2 weeks. And interestingly enough, of your five games remaining, you play in that building three times. Two is the home team, and one is the away team, right? That's the
Well, okay. And we'll travel from Arizona to Dallas. So, I mean, our hope is that Santa Clara County lifts its restrictions, which they said was going to be December 21st. So we're hopeful that we can come home the week of Christmas. But, you know, obviously everything is going to remain in the air until we see where the number of COVID cases and hospitalization rates and things like that go.
Now, look, Jed, the situation could not be more sensitive. I understand that because every team in the National Football League wants to be part of the community and a good neighbor. And, you know, but you also want to be home. You've got a competition here, and you also have players who want to be home with families and home for, as you mentioned, the holidays, as opposed to going straight from Dallas back to Arizona to prepare to be the road team in that game. So how did this all come about? Can you walk me through how the talks with Santa Clara County
the talk started obviously back in March and working with the NFL protocols and things like that and getting the county comfortable and up to speed with what the NFL and the 49ers were doing. And as cases started to rise, you know, we've had conversations with the county. You know, they wanted to put, you know, in sort of a soft bubble, so to speak, into place. And we've been talking to them for about a week about doing that. But they made the decision, obviously, with their announcement publicly as we were boarding our buses to go to L.A., that they were shutting down not just, you know, sports, but a lot of other businesses and a lot of other things. So we, you know, after working with them for a week, we're a little blindsided by that. But obviously, the health and safety of the community is the most important thing. And like anything in football, you know, you get thrown, you know, obstacles in your way, and we had to come up with an answer fairly quickly.
So when you say soft bubble, because my colleague Mike Garofolo of the NFL Media Group and NFL Network discussed it on air yesterday that agents of players on your team were telling him that management of the 49ers had broached the idea of a soft bubble and that they were into it until Santa Clara County made its decision. What is that soft bubble idea that you were forwarding to the players?
I mean, there were a lot of things that were in place. I mean, essentially just keeping our players, you know, at the facility, at Levi's for games, and then being able to go to away games. And that was essentially all we were allowed to do, and not just players. I mean, me included, our coaches, our staff. And we were willing to do that, and the players were willing to do that to be able to stay with their families. You know, obviously, everybody is sacrificed. This isn't just the 49ers. It's not just us. Everybody is obviously sacrificed throughout this pandemic. But our guys were willing to do that to stay with their families. And unfortunately, that wasn't able to remain in place. And that's why, you know, thinking about the future, I'm hopeful that we're home by December 21st. And if not, we've been working with our players and the league and trying to figure out a safe way to be able to get players' families to them in Arizona, obviously, if we're not allowed to return home.
So a lot of moving parts, my word. So
yeah, there are.
So again, it could not be more sensitive because you want to be home for Christmas, and your home is in Santa Clara County, and you said you were a little blindsided. So how do you have talks with a county that it seems, from what you're saying, let it be known to the world before, you know, reaching out to you that you know how to find a new place to go? Jed,
I mean, honestly, like we can't take offense to it. There's more people in Santa Clara County than just the San Francisco 49ers. So obviously, the folks that they're affected the most, the frontline workers, the nurses, the doctors, people that are dealing with this every day, like it's not just us. So obviously, whatever the county needs to decide to figure out what they think keeps everybody safe, we will abide by, and we have to deal with that. So, I mean, this isn't, I don't think that they tried to single out the 49ers and do something to harm the 49ers. I think they're trying to make the right decisions for the county. And unfortunately, as cases rise in Santa Clara County, we had to make adjustments, and I couldn't be more proud of our players for making those adjustments, or more thankful to Michael Bidwell and the Cardinals and the entire state of Arizona for opening their arms and welcoming us. And, you know, thankfully they have NFL-ready facilities, and our home schedules match up well with the Cardinals, so we can actually make the most of it and go somewhere and hopefully finish out the season strong.
So, and on that front, was there any consideration given to staying closer to home for you, like the old Raider Stadium in Oakland, or maybe the home of the San Francisco Giants, or anything like that? Was any consideration given to that, Jed York?
So we talked to the mayors of both Oakland and San Francisco, and they were extremely helpful. But obviously, it's not just their decision. You know, the county health officials are the ones that ultimately are making decisions right now, and it was very prohibitive for us to be able to do that, especially with having to travel outside of the county and come back, and with the quarantine that's in place. It wasn't going to work, and we certainly weren't going to skirt any of the guidelines and, you know, not abide by the county guidelines. If we came back into the county, you're supposed to quarantine in your house for 14 days, and that obviously wouldn't be feasible if we left. So knowing that this could go through December 21st and potentially longer, we needed to find another alternative. You know, the mayor of San Diego offered up a lot of help, which would have been fantastic. Unfortunately, there wasn't a stadium for us to be able to play in San Diego, and that's why Arizona ended up becoming the best option of, obviously, not the easiest situation to deal with.
49ers CEO Jed York joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, then. So do you think that your stay in Arizona, to use a phrase, I guess, you already did this in West Virginia in between weeks 2 and 3 between your Jets and Giants games. The Patriots are coming out here to Los Angeles, and I'm assuming going to stay out here as well. Do you think these situations, bubbling up, soft bubbles, however you want to put it, is something that could potentially be a test case for the NFL when the playoffs roll around for all NFL teams, Judd?
Well, I know in talking with Dr. Sills and the commissioner, I mean, they're looking at everything. Right now, I think our protocols are working fairly well. Obviously, there are some teams that have had COVID issues, but I think they've done a very good job of containing it within the teams. And, you know, that's a decision that I wouldn't make. I wouldn't be, you know, privy of making, but I think the league is going to look at anything that takes place, and whatever they feel like is going to keep our players as safe as possible and give us the best chance of, you know, finishing the season, getting through the playoffs. I'm sure anything and everything is on the table. I think Roger said that yesterday before the Steelers-Ravens game.
Right.
I think everything's on the table, and, you know, at least now, instead of, you know, hypothetically saying, does a bubble work and does this work, you know, you'll at least have a sense of this is what the 49ers are doing. Is there a place to do that? I know talking to Kevin Demoff before the game last week, you know, L.A. is fortunate enough to have multiple stadiums that play host to big events, whether it's the Rose Bowl, the Coliseum, obviously the beautiful stadium at SoFi. You know, I mean, he's talked about a potential soft bubble in L.A. as an alternative for the playoffs. So, I mean, I think there are a lot of options out there, and, you know, people that are much smarter than me and actually understand infectious disease and obviously the safety that comes with that, they'll be the ones making the decisions, and we just need to be prepared to execute whenever we're called on.
But, yeah, I mean, come on, you're smart, Jed. You went to Notre Dame. You know, but put it all
Number
together.
Number two team in the country. I can't remember. How's your team doing?
Come on, Jed, you walked right into it.
I walked right into it, but I wanted to front. I just wanted to get it out of the way. You know, we're having a very
a real conversation.
We're having a real conversation, yeah. But there has been an elephant in the room the entire time. I just wanted to address it before moving on.
Proud of the Irish.
But the conversations amongst ownership, though, a week 18 and pushing playoffs and pushing the Super Bowl back. What are those conversations that you're willing to share that you've had that fans are wondering about as we're watching certain games being played on time despite roster problems for teams? You had one of them on a Thursday night a few weeks ago against Green Bay, and other games being pushed like the Thanksgiving game. So what has been discussed that you're willing to share with us here amongst ownership about moving things around for the playoffs and the end of the season?
I mean, I think they have flexibility. I don't know, you know, what all the flexibility is, but there certainly seems to be flexibility to be able to move things around if need be. And I know for us, you know, you referenced the Thursday night game against
yep.
Green Bay. We had a false positive with Kendrick Bourne and, you know, two or three close contacts with starters. You know, you lose another starting receiver, a left tackle, and it's easy to complain, but you know, those are the rules. It was set out very clearly from the beginning, and the NFL is going to do everything that they can to, number one, make sure that people are safe and that, you know, you're not transmitting COVID on the field. And to my knowledge, there hasn't been a single case of transmission on the field. And I know that we all have to be flexible. I'm hopeful that we are in a playoff conversation, and, you know, if they want to put us in a bubble anywhere, I'm sure our guys would sign up for it if they want to just erase the next 5 weeks of the season and give us a better opportunity to defend the NFC crown that we won last year. But, you know, we have no idea what's going to take place. And I know that the NFL and Dr. Sills and all the infectious disease people that they're talking to, they will have multiple options for us, and they'll put us in a position that's going to be as safe as possible.
So how does that work? Like, everybody zooms together and a decision gets made amongst the 32 members?
The zooms are interesting.
Walk me through it.
When you have people that Zoom is probably not their technology of choice. It's fun to see who's on mute and who's not, and how they do it. And I mean, I won't name names, but when you have people calling out other people on Zoom and they think they're on mute, it's pretty entertaining.
No, come on, Jed, that's happened.
It's pretty entertaining.
You're seeing a member of the National Football League has talked about another member of the National Football League thinking they have muted on Zoom and they have not. Is that what you're saying to me right now?
I mean, I may be intimating that. That could be correct. It's funny. I wish that the Zooms were broadcast like
so
nationally.
Do I. Oh, my gosh.
They're fantastic.
So do I. All right. This is out of all the news that we might be talking about right now. That to me is
what does it rhyme with?
I'm not going to go there, but it's you know, it's hard to communicate, you know, when you've got 32 teams and, you know, folks are on Zoom. Like, it's just not the easiest thing to do. And generally, we are a committee-driven league.
Yes.
So the committees, I think, are doing great work. That's a little bit easier to do on Zoom and to do sort of separately. But it's been challenging to bring everybody together like everybody else is dealing with. You know, it's hard to bring a large group of people. And in the NFL, when you have 32 owners and a commissioner and, you know, people that work at the league office, you have a lot of important people that want to have their voices heard. And it's challenging.
That's why I brought it up, Jed, is that because these are decisions that might have to be made in real time on the fly. Things are happening. I mean, as fans are watching week in and week out, COVID-19 list, this player's on it, that player's on it, this person's off it, that person's off it. This game's going to have to be played, even though a team like yours was without a left tackle. The starting quarterback was already hurt. I mean, it could have helped to have that game for you pushed two games, two days.
It could have,
you know?
But again, like, we have to make sure that health and safety is the most important thing. And, you know, again, our protocols are in place. Our guys know what the protocols are. And, you know, you just have to live with those consequences. And I don't know that it would have made a difference. Obviously, Green Bay is rocking and rolling right now. I hope that it would have made a difference, but I don't know. I hope we get an opportunity to play those guys again.
What's it like being the owner of? Because you're hearing so many other teams talk about scheme this, scheme that. You know, the scheme doesn't fit. The scheme doesn't. And your coach is a master schemer. What's that like?
I mean,
for you?
We're very fortunate to have John and Kyle together.
Right.
Those guys are great. And, you know, one of our beat reporters, Matt Maiocco, asked me earlier today about, you know, the coach and GM that we're going up against, and Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean, who we also interviewed when we hired Kyle and John. And those two guys are doing a heck of a job. You know, they're on the same page. Kyle and John are on the same page. And it speaks volumes. Like, I mean, you have no idea what your opponents are going to be throughout the season. You don't know if you're going to have a pandemic to deal with. You don't know if you're going to be, you know, forced to leave your home and go somewhere else for weeks or potentially 5 weeks at a time. You have no idea. And that's very, very hard. Not to mention you have to play, you know, great teams on Sundays or Monday nights or whenever we're playing. And to have John and Kyle there together, knowing that they're on the same page, battling through all this stuff together, it definitely helps you sleep at night.
Well, I mean, and for you too, you know, you went through a period there where you were one and dunning, and not because that was your plan at all. But you've got this in place, and you're coming off of what you came off last year, and your team is at 5-6, still in this mix with a possibility to get some of your guys back. What is that like for you, Jed? Seriously, like to having gone through all that?
Especially in this season. You know, I mean, I go back to a conversation I had with the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, and I said, look, this isn't about, you know, financial results for us this year. Like, if it was about finance and the bottom line, I'd ask you to cancel the season because we would financially be better off not playing. But there's no possible way that the 49ers weren't going to do everything that we could to defend the NFC West championship, defend the NFC championship last year, and knowing that, you know, people look forward to Sundays. They look forward to Monday nights. They look forward to Thursdays and even sometimes Wednesday afternoons. You know, the NFL is such a big piece of our country. You know, 20% of Americans watch an NFL game on Sundays. You know, a third of the country watches a Super Bowl. Like, we wanted to make sure that we did everything that we could to play this season. And watching our guys go through all of this stuff, I mean, Raheem Mostert, I don't know if you saw his...
Oh, we talked about it. That was
incredible. Raheem summed it up. Like, you know, I mean, our guys, I realize that our players make more money than average American, but they also work for maybe 4 to 5 years. And guys need to make decisions on what they want to do. And Raheem made the decision to step away from his family to try to keep them safe and go to work. You know, and if you can't respect that, and the same way that you have to respect the way a nurse leaves her family or his family to go in to help other people, like, there's a lot of people that are doing those things right now. And you know, you just have to be proud of them, and you have to be proud to see a team come together under very, very adverse circumstances.
Jed, appreciate the time. So much so, I'm going to leave you with a suggestion, okay? Because I like making guests and guests who I appreciate better than when I found them, okay? I'm going to make you a suggestion here. Okay, Jed?
You can either go to graduate school in Michigan?
No.
I wasn't sure.
No. Actually, this is, you know, something I'm still going to suggest, making you better despite that swipe. you can take this and use it or not, but... I imagine when you are in the home of the Arizona Cardinals, you as the home team will have control of the scoreboard and everything, right? This is your home team.
They've been awesome about all
okay,
that
great.
Stuff.
So, right when the Bills come out, you put the Hail Mary up there, and you're just blasted, okay? Because they're going to be a little spooked coming back in that building. You know, I know it's a new building for you as a home team, but you've been there before. Bills, yeah, the whole thing, the sound full of the call. You put Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins up there, and just keep rolling it over and over again as they're on the field.
It may frighten us too, because we've got to be there in 4 weeks to play those guys.
No,
so.
I know that, but it's 1 week at a time, league. You know that, Jed.
Come on, it is.
Just survive in advance. Move on.
How fired up do you think Chris Berman is to watch the Niners and the Bills play this week?
I didn't even think of Boomer. I had a circle of wagons.
It was his Super Bowl pick for like 15 years straight.
That's right.
He was right most of the time.
And Boomer will be on at halftime of that game. I'm sure you've just given him – he probably had that idea anyway.
Oh, I'm sure.
Jed, thanks for the call. You take care.
Appreciate it, guys. Stay safe and hope to see you in person soon.
You got it. That's Jed York, the CEO of the San Francisco 49ers. Bills come out. They're thinking, this is, you know, we were here before, but this is the 49ers. It's not the Cardinals. Yeah. Oh, what's that play up there? Oh, you got to be kidding me.
That's a really, touchdown. Really clever troll move by you. I like this.
I think, like,
good
this,
idea.
And you know that catch is like 4, 5, 6, 7 different camera angles. Just roll them out there.
Every single one.
And just like, oh, gosh, we didn't know. The Cardinals must have left the tape in the machine, even though I'm sure that's not what it. Yes. The actual method
the machine
of
that he
communicating.
Three-quarter tape, yeah.
We just hit play.
Now, you realize, Rich, you're going to have...
No fingerprints.
You're going to have Bills Mafia members calling this show now.
Respect it. They've got to respect it.
And you know they watch us,
it's very disrespectful, and
very
we didn't front-load it with all due respect, you still have to respect the disrespect.
Yeah. I understand.
It's the part of the game,
Thank
man.
Thank you. Chris Brockman's news update. You're going to set me off with what went down with the New York Jets today, aren't you, Chris?
Well, some stuff is going on.
You're
going to
set
man.
Me off
There's
because
some things,
apparently
some stuff, is, some stuff is happening.
Flacco's getting into fights, or somebody's getting into fights with Flacco?
Reportedly.
All right.
Allegedly.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, and Howie Long also still lurks on our rundown. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to richeisenstore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to richeisenstore.com and shop your head off right now. And it's functional, too. I mean, the mug right here, it holds any liquid that you put in it. You can hold it in your left hand. And you can hold it in your right hand, and there's a logo on each side.
That's important.
That's ingenious.
If I'm going to put a mug out on the market, it's not going to just on the right hand side have that, and then for lefties, it's blank. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. I mean, honestly, what sort of animal would
you're a man
would
of the people, Rich?
Thank you. I'm a coffee drinker too, Brockman. Never had coffee?
Never had coffee in my life.
That's crazy.
There you have it. He's a tea drinker. He drinks tea. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. So before we get to your news update, Chris, I just want to give everyone a little bit of background here. Look, I cannot imagine being an executive in charge of a county in the middle of a pandemic. What an amazing responsibility that must be. Remarkable pressure that you must feel. Certainly if you are, as the county executive of Santa Clara County, whose name is Jeffrey Smith, that you both, you're a doctor and a lawyer.
Ooh, okay. Nice.
He's got an MD and a JD. So he knows the medicine best he can, and he knows the law best he can. I mean, you got it. You got it on both sides.
Straight shot.
You're a doctor and a lawyer. It's sort of like Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. to go a little Looney Tunes for a little bit of levity. Okay. So but the reason why I bring all this up is it is, as Jed York pointed out, the CEO of the 49ers we just hung up with, as he pointed out, you know, it's more than just the 49ers you have to worry about. There's all the businesses that are there, and then the frontline workers, and so on and so forth. If you want to understand just how much of a high road Jed York just took, Jeffrey Smith was quoted as saying this just the other day in making this announcement, when I guess it was brought up that maybe certain businesses, including the 49ers, were not happy about the idea. And you heard, you know, that they were not terribly thrilled about being on the on a plane and learning about it that way. But at any rate, this is what I just want to read this. And again, I say this fully knowing how difficult a job this must be. Please understand. But he said, quote, "If leaders want to protect their teams and communities, they should not play anywhere until it is safe. One might envision a reemergence of team building if the teams spent their time building a COVID relief fund for their community rather than trying to put the community at more risk." Now, making decisions that are unpopular on behalf of your populace is one thing. But could you imagine the 49ers are playing because they're, quote, trying to put the community at more risk, and maybe they should spend their time building a COVID relief fund that could be more teamwork building worthy than playing football in a pandemic? Could you imagine you're part of that organization and you read that from the county executive after all the works that these players do in the community and all the stuff I'm sure that they have done locally with healthcare workers that we don't know about? Mm-hmm. And that they're not playing to try and put the community at more risk. Like, the protocols that the NFL are putting into place are way more stringent than most businesses in America. So I just wanted to lay that all out there. You ready for your news update, Chris?
Let's do it.
Let's hit it right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brock.
Christopher, what do you have over there?
Hey, Rich, ready to get fired up?
Oh, no.
If it's Thursday, there's more drama with the New York Jets. So Adam Gase spoke today and talked about his quarterback, Sam Darnold, and the job that he's done coaching him up. Roll tape.
To do things well, you know, around him, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's on me to get him to play better than what he's played. And, you know, right so far, I haven't done a good enough job. I have to just keep trying to help him, keep trying to, you know, help our staff put together good game plans, you know, dial myself, you know, we just keep trying to work as hard as we possibly can to put him in the best position possible.
Never has a self-evaluation been more spot on.
Well, he's got five more weeks.
I honestly, you know, again, Lions, 49, the Falcons and the Texans have won more than they've lost since they made their coaching change. We'll see what happens with the Lions here. But as you know, there's a greater goal here, and it's unfortunate I keep bringing it up, because it is unfair to the professionalism of people like Gase,
admittedly, and to the professionalism of people like Joe Douglas. And, of course, to Sam Darnold, who all he wants to do is win football games and achieve the greatness that everybody saw in him on the campus at USC and had hoped for him in New York City. But they got to lose every last game. And that is the only reason why they're still sticking with a coach who's 0-11. Why else? I honestly don't understand. When all receivers that they had hoped to have for Darnold were all there last week and they looked terrible against the Dolphins. And then what's going to really particularly upset?
One quick on Sam Darnold. No passing touchdowns and 142 attempts.
I mean, that's insane. Could you imagine in this day and age in the NFL, how bad you have to be? How disorganized or uncoordinated for an offense you have to be? I don't even know how to...
So we'll just get to this.
RG3 almost threw a touchdown pass yesterday. Got knocked out of the hands of Luke Wilson.
He hasn't played in years. So your starting guard, Alex Lewis, not practicing today, not injury related. Adam Gase says there could be clarity today or tomorrow, non-committal whether he will play on Sunday. Now, there are some rumors floating about Jets Twitter. One rumor is that Alex Lewis in the locker room said out loud, "I should have left when Jamal did. Adam Gase told him to get the bleep out." Another story confirmed by multiple sources on a Jets magazine site. Lewis and Joe Flacco got into an altercation and had to be separated in the parking lot after a game a couple weeks ago. And then last week, Lewis went off on Gase during practice.
What a holy hell of a mess. But like I said, just let it fester. You have to, honestly.
And then what? Just get rid of everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to. Otherwise, Trevor Lawrence would absolutely be right to say, "I want no part of that." What kid wants to be part of this? And that's the danger of letting it fester, is you're indicating to the kid, "We don't know what we're doing."
Yeah.
And then as soon as January 4th hits, it's over. Night of January 3rd, it's over. And I better not hear the two words out of the Jets' mouth that they normally have said, which is Corn Ferry. You don't need to hire hire me. Give me the Corn Ferry money. I'll tell you who to hire, Jets. You hire some headhunter. Jeez, I've been helping make America great again in London for the last 4 years. I've been a little unfamiliar as to who to hire as a National Football League head coach. My brother might have a list, but I'm wondering. Let me hire Corn Ferry and give them tens of thousands of dollars to tell me the name of Eric Bieniemy.
That's probably millions of dollars.
Or the name of, knock on David Shaw's door. See if he wants to coach in the NFL. All of that. And Alex Lewis.
Alex
right?
Lewis, yeah, your starting guard.
My starting guard. He hasn't been around very long, right? I mean, is he new to the
think,
NFL?
I think he's a young guy, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or he hasn't been around the Jets very long, but. Hey, Alex. The Jet way.
It's the fourth year in the league.
Yeah. The Jet way is, if you're going to hit any of the quarterbacks, you hit the starter. Okay.
Why bring up Geno Smith here?
No, I'm just saying, precedent has been set. You hit the starter in the mouth, so the backup gets in. And previously, it led to almost a playoff appearance with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Almost.
This time, it's exactly what we need. Yeah. Joe Flacco should be wearing that red jersey all the time. Do not touch Joe. We need Joe in there. It gives me no pleasure to take this approach. But I'm just spitting truth, as I'm supposed to do sitting in this chair for you, my listeners and viewers. It does not give me any pleasure.
Just a couple other NFL notes. As we talked about, Bud Dupree tore his ACL. He's out for the year. That's a big-time bummer for the Steelers defense. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski said Myles Garrett is going to play. He was activated this week off the COVID list, so they have a huge game this week. Okay. That is a huge game, Cleveland-Tennessee.
8-3 versus 8-3. Derrick Henry versus Nick Chubb.
Who, baby?
Baker Mayfield versus Ryan Tannehill. I'm serious. A.J. Brown, Jarvis Landry.
Game. That is a huge
game. I mean, this is a game where they come hit you. Everyone's coming to hit you.
Cool, baby.
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Here we go.
Yeah, man. Huge game.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Flores, we heard from him yesterday about Tua. He said he's not going to decide until Sunday.
Well, he doesn't have a crystal ball. That's what he said yesterday.
Yeah, not going to decide till Sunday whether it's Tua or Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You can't. One look, and as you know, I said he earned his wings, his stripes as an NFL head coach, using one of my favorite cliches that he doesn't have a crystal ball. You can't say I don't have a crystal ball on a Wednesday and make a decision on a Thursday. Otherwise, two things: one, you know, you're going to come across as inconsistent, and two, which is the worst thing for a head coach, people are going to start to wonder if you do in fact have a crystal ball. That removes the cliche from your arsenal.
Abracadabra.
If one day you're like, I don't have a crystal ball, guys. I don't know if this guy's going to play. And then all of a sudden on Thursday, yeah, he's out.
Yeah, Dolphins-Bengals. Dolphins 11-point favorites already, so I don't know if it matters who plays.
Plus the Bengals, you know, you got to keep the Bengals guessing. At 2-8-1, got to keep them on their toes.
Quick Raider note, Nelson Agholor, Josh Jacobs did not practice. So,
man,
keep an eye on those injuries.
What a loss for the Raiders against the Falcons. That was.
Raiders-Jets this week.
No, it's the get-right game. It's the get-right game.
Okay, let's play this.
You know what you do if you really want to win? You tell Alex Lewis that Derek Carr is You tell him Jonathan Abram is Joe Flacco. He just gets the second level and just nails that kid. You know? And then all of a sudden, Frank Gore is running free.
What is going on with your team? All right, so we talked yesterday.
LaMichael P. Ryan cannot be stopped. He should get the reps.
Kirk Herbstreit's comments about Michigan during the college football playoff show. You know, talked about waving the white flag, whether they would sit out so Ohio State couldn't make it, et cetera, et cetera. Your athletic director, Ward Manuel, was made available not to talk about this, but to talk about why Michigan and Maryland's game postponed this weekend because of COVID. So in his press conference, he, of course, was asked about Kirk Herbstreit's comments, and this was his response.
I was infuriated by the insinuation that Michigan would do anything other than play a football game. We've been playing this game since 1879, and we're winning this program for a reason, because we play whoever's in front of us. And the only way we want to keep anybody from moving on is to beat them on the fields of play. And to insinuate that, to say something other than that, is a statement by a fool. And it is something that just I can't tell you how embarrassed I am for the Big Ten Conference to have one of their representatives who played this game to say that about any team in this conference. And to say it about college football and the student athletes around this country who are trying to play games during a pandemic, it is ridiculous and sad.
Well, our Peacock viewers can see it. And our radio listeners may have seen this show over the last 6 years, so they know the size of the microphone in front of me. If it wouldn't break it into pieces, I would drop this microphone right now.
Boop.
He went 1879 on him.
Old school.
He went Big Ten representative on him. Kirk knew when it was out of his mouth. That's why he made a video to apologize for it literally within minutes. What else, Chris?
One college note we mentioned earlier. So Liberty was supposed to play Coastal Carolina this weekend. That was a huge matchup.
Yep.
Liberty bowed out. They have some COVID issues. BYU is going to step in, though. So that ends up being a huge college football game. That's going to be Saturday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPNU.
So do you think the winner of this game will actually make enough hay in you know what I mean?
They're both 13 and 18 respectively in the poll right now. I'm not sure.
You know what I mean? Like, do you think that these two undefeated teams playing their 10th game in a pandemic, which is a remarkable achievement.
Yeah.
Do you think these two 9-0 teams, even if they play a Donnybrook and one of them wins a classic, will break the plane, if you will, of the goal line being set up by the committee who decides the final four teams? Do you really think so? So, like, you know, while we're all sitting here talking about college football and who's making it and who's not and what's going on and whether the rules are this or the rules are that, and oh my gosh, we're all sitting here.
Yeah, game day is going to be there. It's going to be awesome.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
But do you really think when it comes down to it, when that committee zooms with each other to decide the final four, let's not forget about when Liberty dropped out and BYU and Coastal Carolina stepped up for our decision-making well-being and for the whole country to sit down and watch a game. Let's put a check mark next to that. Oh, well, should we let Clemson in?
Well, I think without
should we let Ohio State
without
in?
An expansion
to, what I'm to saying.
8, like, 12,
what
16, whatever, they're
we
not going to make
doing
it.
If BYU and Coastal Carolina
we've had crossing, great seasons.
Are crossing vectors to make this game happen for potentially a drop in the eventual Final Four bucket in terms of decision. Expand it and let them do it for real. For all of our enjoyment. Expand it, let them do it for real, and let the winner go on and take on one of the Blue Bloods, and let's see what happens. Now you've got my attention. This is just like, okay, if I got nothing to do, yeah, I'll turn it on. With the ultimate, I'm being honest here.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But when it's for real, okay. It's just, I don't understand what we're doing here.
Lastly, just kind of a sad note, wanted to mention because it's big out here locally. Rafer Johnson, Olympic decathlete winner in 1960. Yeah, UCLA legend, LA sports legend, passed away yesterday at the age of 86. Also noted in his career. In his life, helped subdue Sirhan Sirhan after he shot RFK in 1968 as well.
May he rest in peace, yes, Rafer indeed. Johnson. 1960.
Yeah, it was really crucial in getting the Olympics here in Los Angeles in 1980.
May Rafer Johnson rest in peace. We'll be back to set up the rest of our show, Howie Long and Michael Smith, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We haven't hit on our poll question in a while, but we will do that when we come back. Hey, everybody. If you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days. But you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. How about that? Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It is time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place instantaneously. Join over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. So let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. netsuite.com/rich. We're back here on Peacock. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on our show. Our radio audience will be rejoining us in a matter of moments here, getting you set for... No live sports tonight. What are you going to watch tonight, Chris?
Well, I got to catch up on The Bachelorette. Didn't get a chance to watch on Tuesday.
Wow.
And we've been checking out the show on Amazon called The Boys.
Okay.
Holy smokes, it is insane.
All right.
But it's really fun.
What are you catching up on tonight, TJ? There's no Thursday night football.
You know, Rich, as you guys know, I'm a wrestling fan. So I tend... As I've done a lot over the pandemic when we didn't have sports,
yes.
I like to go into the WWE Network and watch some old school wrestling matches. So I did last night for a little bit, and I'll probably do that tonight.
Okay.
Nice.
Watch a little Pat Patterson, who happened
to... He just passed away, right?
Passed away, one of the greatest minds of all time in wrestling. So I kind of go maybe watch a Pat Patterson-Bob Backlund steel cage match from the Madison Square Garden tonight.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, talking about what we're going to watch tonight without any live sports on this evening, Thursday, or is there a college football game I'm unfamiliar with?
There should
on
be
TV
college
tonight?
Basketball tonight too.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm not.
You know what? I want to get into. I don't know if we don't have this even visually supported. So, yeah, but I'm going to get into this.
Yeah, Kansas plays tonight. Iowa, they're in the top five.
Chris, have you seen? Have you seen the latest Ingrate?
You did say Ingrate, right?
Ingrate.
Okay.
Have you seen the latest deserter?
Of?
The Bald Brotherhood.
Oh, no.
Somebody got hair.
Stop it.
Shaka Smart.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Oh, bro. He's got an
S. Texas what? Longhorns basketball coach has turned heel.
Stand by.
Got a little S curl going.
This just came up because you mentioned college basketball. I made a mental note to say, you know, if it comes up, if college basketball up this week, Shaka Smart, who was bald and beautiful.
Looks like Doug Christie, kind of.
All this Doug Christie is an excellent way to put it.
Get out of here.
What
Come on, man.
What happened to him? What, you know, I mean, and again, you say this sort of stuff.
This is a front.
Would not come my way if I decided to do something like this.
Well, I think you would get the initial, whoa, hey, Rich Eisen has hair. You know, you'd get that.
But then people like us.
You might be on PTI. You know, Levitard would probably have his fun.
Jay Billis is the one who said he's like the executive director of the Ball Brotherhood. He was very upset with Shaka Smart. That's how I learned about it. I saw it on his Instagram feed.
Yeah, that's where I saw it the first time.
You would take some heat, but I think when it all comes down to it, only matters what one person thinks.
I know that. It's an audience of one, isn't
it? Yeah, so, you know, Shaka is married to a Maya Payne Smart.
That was all Maya's call
I'm
right there.
I'm sure
Jay.
She is 100% on board.
How do we know? We don't know.
Because he wouldn't have done it, like I told
Why
you.
Why do we assume every single time that the spouse or significant other is into the idea?
Why else would you do it?
Yeah.
You know how much money we save on shampoo?
That's true.
And haircuts.
That's
and
not true. As you know, I get my hair cut every 2 weeks because what I do have grows like a chia pet.
That's true. That's
true. I'm serious. I'm serious.
The chia pet grows in 3 days, folks.
I have to buy like new clippers maybe every 2 or 3 years because, you know, I do it every day.
But, Rich, to answer that question, it's a woman's world, man. And if the lady wants you to grow hair, then, you know, you should probably get yourself some hair. And so you said Susie would be okay with it, right?
I think okay. I think okay is
an understatement.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. There's your audience. What'd you say, audience of one? Or?
Audience of one, man.
There you go.
I don't think she'd want me doing the full, like, Doug Christie or anything like that.
But just, like, you fill know, it in.
Just a, you know, what would say situational? Just a situation, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Thank you. Well done. Well done, Jason Feller.
Mike Tomlin. We have a basically how we have a Jerry Jones drop for kind of every occasion. We now have
a Tomlin
Mike
drop.
Tomlin drops for every
Tomlin's
occasion.
Tomlin drops. I mean, honestly. Don, can you call up the soundbite we played in the first block? I mean, this is a coach who's been there and done that and is firmly entrenched in his organization and has a full grip on the locker room, and the locker room respects him, and he can rule by fiat through the media. This is what that coach sounds like after a game in which there were tons of mistakes made.
Mike, you had some red zone failures and a number of drop passes. Would you attribute that to anything in particular?
Sucking.
Period. With a T. Period.
Sucking.
Right?
So
just phenomenal.
He's phenomenal.
I mean,
he's phenomenal.
You don't hear that.
Can I tell you something, though? I was going to bring this up earlier. You know, my Uncle Buck back at home, it's my mom's brother. Okay. I do have an Uncle Buck, by the way.
Okay, very good.
Now, Tuna, Uncle Buck works construction. And, you know, we were talking last night. And you know who isn't a fan of Mike Tomlin?
Uncle Buck?
No, not Uncle Buck. The people that he works with. Like, and he's told me over the years, maybe not so much this year, but you know how, like, last year your thing was,
yeah,
if Mike
people?
Tomlin gets fired, I told him that, and we were discussing it last night, and he goes, you know, these guys I work with, they still are, like, you know, not Mike Tomlin fans. They
what
think he won the Super Bowl with
is
Bill Cowher's
their
team.
Major malfunction.
I don't understand. He and I talk about this every time we speak.
I honestly, I feel like I'm the sergeant from Full Metal Jacket. Did their mommy and daddy not give them enough love and attention as a child? Like,
well, I mean,
honestly, like, what? How do you at all
On another day, I'll really break it down for
you. Well, I mean,
I'll
if you're...
It,
no, if
I'll
you're,
leave
look,
it alone
no,
for today.
Hold on a second. If you're referring to what I think you're referring to...
You know what I'm referring to, but
then that's beyond the pale, then. We're supposed to not see that sort of thing when we're talking about wins and losses. And we're just not supposed to see that sort of thing, period.
Period. But,
right. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. Come on.
A little
that's
deeper.
That's absurd. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Because this guy...
And I'm sure Tomlin, you know... When he watches this segment, we know.
No, he knows.
He'd probably be like, you know, really, Rich? Are you surprised by that? honestly.
Mike Tomlin, 144-74.
Are you kidding me?
Middle of Pennsylvania, bro.
Honestly, you got Chuck Knoll in the Pro Football Hall of Fame with 4 rings.
9-10 win seasons.
You get him all that way and hand the reins off to Cowher, who's about to have a bust in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And you say, we're going to replace him with Mike Tomlin. And then anybody who'd be like at the time, like, who? And then that guy goes, what?
He is 144-74-1, including this year. In 14 years, never had a losing season.
Including last year.
He was 3-8-8.
When he's starting Duck Hodges.
Makes sense.
You know,
sense.
By the way, the quarterback who they had lined up, you know, for Big Ben, and the guy who they lined up behind Mason Rudolph was Josh Dobbs. They traded him away the week Big Ben threw out his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So even the backup plan to the backup
was gone.
And they wouldn't have made that trade if they knew Big Ben was blowing out his arm. It was bad, bad timing. Case of bad timing.
And 8-7 in the playoffs.
And then that may be part of it too. But please, you know, have Uncle Buck send his coworkers my way. Will you please?
I'm sure they're probably watching.
I'm more than happy. You let's have a conversation, because I'll tell you what, with my team currently the exact polar opposite record than yours right now, with a possibility of getting a dynamite, once in a lifetime, Aladdin-like diamond in the rough. Okay? Please, please send Mike Tomlin to New York. Please. Please.
You'd sign up for that, right?
And him giving this soundbite in New York City would be something I'd pay for right now. I'd pay for it right now.
Sucking.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you're trying to down someone or a Barkley or a Karl Malone because they didn't win in the 90s. Well, you lived in the era of Jordan. We live right now in the era of Belichick. So to even get a title in this time is pretty amazing, yeah. Right? Yeah. So you can't look at it like, well, we can't beat Belichick. Nobody for 20 years beat Belichick. So,
facts.
He is going to have a bust in the Pro Football Hall of Fame the way he's going.
Without question.
Facts.
And think about it. Another thing. Tell Uncle Buck's workmates, I'm a 51-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Chuck Knoll was hired the year I was born. They've had 2 other coaches since then.
That's bananas. That's incredible.
And also, if they really think Tomlin's a problem, just look at my face into the face of an 0-11 fan right now.
Pain, Rich.
Send him. Not on this green earth, because the Rooneys know what the hell they're doing. Howie Long of Fox Sports, Pro Football Hall of Famer, coming up.
Can we just make a list of everyone that's left us, Rich? That's left the Brotherhood.
Well, Urlach or Dion make the list. And now here you go. Here's a photograph. Our guys at home have cooked it up. This is the before, obviously, clear. He had the hair. I mean, he's got it.
Yeah, but he's got a little, it's receding a little bit.
Okay. And now we've got the after here. We got the after here. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, there's no way. It's not. He didn't just grow it out.
He did not just
grow
it out.
Look at that.
Look how filled in it is in the front.
Look at the front.
How do we know that's really him? He's wearing a mask. I mean,
that's true.
I don't know if that's Shaka. I kind of think it's Shaka, but I don't know.
I don't know.
He's shocking the system.
You guys know the last time I had a went to a barbershop and had a haircut?
Like a cut?
Yeah.
No.
It was probably 1998.
Were you driving back then?
Of course not. I was taking the bus through Pittsburgh all over the place. Walking up and down Mount Washington.
I distinctly remember my last haircut that I paid for. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I grew an afro because I knew I wanted to lock my hair up. So in 98, I think that was the last time. And then I grew out the fro, then I locked it.
Shaka Smart.
Gosh.
Vaya con Dios, sir.
Vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios. We don't want you around here anyway.
That's right. Huh? Can't fire me. I quit.
Don't let the hair.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct
against the spread.
That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcasts. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcasts. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.